All right, friends. As promised, I am going to give you your equipping for this week. We just met up. I'm sorry, there's going to be a little bit of background noise in the background here. There's Tita Mai is vacuuming, and there's the worship team kind of practicing. But what happened during our last tech meeting, which is today, November 10, is we had a powerful time where God just really moved into a time where we were praying for each other, praying together. And so I didn't get to give the equipping that I initially planned to teach you guys, but that's okay. I love it when God just ruins our plans for the best way possible, in the best way possible there. And so I'm going to teach this to you. Again, we want to welcome Christine Ropez and Marianne for joining our tech team, our discipleship group leader team. We are so excited to have you guys. And so I hope this blesses you, all of you, everybody in here, so that you guys can become more effective in reaching your discipleship groups. So let's get started here. This is based off of the Purpose-Driven Small Groups book. And the idea here is your vision clear? Is there a clear vision that you are taking your discipleship group? One of the things that I do every year for the last 2-3 years now with the Furious Five is we create goals in the beginning of the year. And throughout the year, kind of hold them accountable to how are you doing when it comes to this. And then at the end of the year, we evaluate how well did we do when it comes to these strategic goals that we put in place. Because what then happens is we put a finish line when it comes to intentionality. When we put a finish line when it comes to growth, and then growth then becomes very intentional as we move throughout the year, as we meet up, as we converse, as we talk, as we grow together. We know where we need to grow because we have these clear goals. And so I want to ask you guys that question is your vision clear when it comes to where you want to take your discipleship group? Because if you don't know where you're taking them, they sure don't know where they're going. All right. So we as a leader have this key responsibility to make sure that our vision is clear. And I've shared this with you guys just recently in the last few days, and I'm going to share it with you again, that our vision as a young people's ministry in Word International Calgary is to transform young people. That's them going from death to life, meeting Jesus. And from there, we equip them. We disciple them. We raise them up. We train them. And then from there, we never just feed them and just leave them at that. What we always want to do is we want to make sure we challenge them to be partnering with the Great Commission that Jesus left us. That co-mission, that means it's a partnership of this mission that Jesus left to his disciples, which is us now in this New Testament church age that we're living in. So we always want to commission them. And it's the name that we have here, the tech team. Transform, to equip, to commission. But we never stop there. We always want to empower them once they're ready, once they're ripe, once they're starting to really bear fruit. They then begin to transform their friends, strangers, other people around them, people within their sphere of influence. They then begin to equip those people. They then begin to commission those people. And from there, we find this beautiful cycle. And so this is our vision, and it needs to look very similar to what you have in mind for your discipleship group. This is the heart of it. It can sound different because every discipleship group, every small group is kind of unique, but this has to be clear on where you want to take your disciples, and it has to be this vision. And from a vision, you have to tie goals to it so you can be more intentional. And then with those goals, you tie strategies on how to reach those goals. So this is all, we're not just shooting in the dark here. We're not just guessing when it comes to raising disciples. We're intentional because lives are on the line. And the future of this city, the future of this country, because we're working with young people, is on the line. And so it puts this immense responsibility on us to really take this seriously and really be intentional in what we're doing. And there are key things that, based on the purpose-driven small groups, that the author there, Steve Gladden, he was pointing out that unless you know the target, you won't hit it. Unless you know the target, you won't hit it. So my question for you guys, and I will give you the five, what it looks like for a healthy disciple to birth from your group, okay? So what does it look like? I want you to really maybe even pause this and think about this, is what does it look like for somebody to be a healthy disciple under you? What is your idea of a well-raised, well-groomed disciple? So think about that for a second. You can pause this and you can write things down if you want. That will really help. What does it look like? For example, little Billy Joe or whatever. Billy Jean. Let's go with Billy Jean. If this person, Billy Jean, is with us for 3 to 5 years, let's say, or even more, what would it look like for them to graduate from our mentorship or our discipleship? Maybe they had to move to another country because of career, whatever it is. What would it look like? What would they look like if they were to be called a healthy disciple? Think about it. And there are 5 things that Steve Gladden was talking about that are key distinctions when it comes to these healthy disciples. They are key character traits that we need to see in order for them to be called or referred to as a healthy disciple. And I'm going to read all 5 of them to you, and then we're going to go through each of them really quickly. And I really want you to examine where your disciples are when it comes to these 5 characteristic traits of a healthy disciple, a healthy Christ follower, okay? So the first one here is, number 1, they are surrendered. They have surrendered their life to Christ, and it's an ongoing process. In Ephesians, it talks about how continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it's not just, I give my life to Jesus, I pray the prayer, and it's done. No, it has to be an ongoing basis. So again, the first one there is, do they have a life surrendered to Jesus Christ? And is it an ongoing basis? Is it a regular thing? It's a daily thing, because the Bible talks about picking up your cross daily, dying to our old self. This has to be happening on a regular basis. Love that one. The second one here is, do they have fellowship with other believers? See, you guys have heard me say this multiple times, where you become the average of the people you hang around with the most. And so it's really key for our disciples to be connected with a healthy body of believers who carry these values, carry a heart to transform, a heart to be equipped, a heart to be commissioned, because you will become like the people you surround yourself with. Who said this? John Maxwell did. He was saying, you don't become what you do occasionally. You become what you do consistently. And when you're around people who are dragging you down all the time, what happens is you actually begin to have this negative mentality, negative perspective when it comes to life. And so are they connected with a healthy body of believers? That's the second one. The third one we have here is, are they growing in Christ through their being and in their actions? And so one of the things that we need to ask ourselves is, are they growing in their being in action when it comes to their identity in Christ? And so this third one actually refers to, how do they know that they are a child of God, or do they think they're just a servant? Because there's a big distinction there. If somebody goes about their Christian life thinking that they're just a servant, they're going to do things because they get a reward. But if somebody believes and knows in their hearts and in their spirits that they are a child of God first, and then they are a minister second, or a disciple second, what happens is you don't do things because you're forced to. You do things because it's a privilege. It's the difference between being somebody who's just a guest in the house and somebody who's a child of that house. Child of that house has a different way of living in that home. And so are they growing in Christ when it comes to them, their identity in their being and in their action? Is what they're believing manifesting in their lives? So that's the third one. Are they growing in Christ through their being and growing in action? In their actions. All right, so we're almost done here. Number 4 is, they are discovering and using their God-given gifts and abilities. Are your disciples beginning to discover and use their God-given abilities? Because you notice that this is 2 parts, right? They're discovering it through the process of you challenging them to serve here, challenging them to serve there, challenging them to try this or try that. That's part of our role as a discipleship group leader, is we have to be challenging our disciples somehow. And the beautiful thing that I've seen in the past, and I see it over and over again, is when we work with people through discipleship, they discover things about themselves that they didn't know prior to. I just think about Gabe Tan. One of the first things that happened when I first met him in 2014 was I heard him talk about this passion when it comes to like the background stuff, when it comes to drama productions. He was still in high school then, or I think it was junior high. And from that conversation, I started plugging him in with Uncle Ben. I started getting him plugged in when it comes to the sound engineering side of things, when it comes to our weekly services and stuff like that. And he actually, now he wants to build a career around that. And so discovering and using their God-given gifts and abilities is a manifestation of this thriving relationship with the Father. As they dive into the Word, as they grow, are they discovering and using their God-given gifts for Him? And so that's number four. The last one here is, are they reaching and sharing God's love to non-believers? This is the commissioned life. And I don't need to talk much about this because you guys literally breathe. This is in your DNA already. And so that's the one thing that we got to ask. Are our disciples, do they have a heart for who God has a heart for? Because the reality of love is, you will begin to love who that person loves. Okay, if we love somebody, we will begin to love what they love, simply because that's just the way love is expressed. And that's, we see this too when it comes to the Bible. We see this too when it comes to a relationship with God. And so we got to ask that. Are our disciples growing in their love for other people because they're growing in their love between them and God? Are they beginning to manifest that by really having a love for the lost and the broken? And so these are the five things. I'm going to read them really quickly so it really gets stapled on you, and you can write them down if you want. But I'll also send the notes to this audio. But do they have a life surrendered to Christ on an ongoing basis? Number two, do they have a strong fellowship when it comes to other believers? Number three, are they growing in Christ through their being and in their action? Number four, are they discovering and using their God-given gifts and abilities? Number five, are they reaching out and sharing love to non-believers? And again, this comes back to our very value, our very heart, is to transform, equip, and commission. And in turn, they will begin to transform, equip, and commission. And the lesson is here. Unless you know the target, you won't hit it. When you know where you need to be, it is easier to strategize on how to get there. And so bless you with this word. I'm going to send the notes when it comes to this, but really take this to heart. And I pray that this takes you higher and deeper when it comes to being more effective in raising up disciples for Jesus. Okay, thank you guys again for the ones that came out today. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys. Keep fighting the good fight.